Take your Bible this morning. Go to Genesis with me, please. Genesis chapter 4. As you read the scripture, Cain has slain his brother, and in a fit of jealousy. Why is it? I always wonder this. Why is it people get mad because you do right? Explain that to me. Why is it that people get mad when you get a better grade in school than they? Why is it people get mad that you are dressed up and look real nice for their kind of sloppy dress and didn't take care of themselves and their hair looks like they got chicken hair and they didn't shave they got things going on in their body why do people get mad at you because you clean up and you work hard at it why do people get mad at you because you got a clean car why? Explain that to me. Will somebody just sit down and explain to me why people get mad at you because you're doing right? Well, it must be an age-old problem because it happened clear back in the time of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a beautiful little baby boy named Cain, and then they had Abel. And God told them how they ought to worship, how they ought to do the things of God. And the Bible says that Cain took of the fruit of the ground, and he sacrificed, I guess, potatoes and okra and black-eyed peas and whatever, collard. But his brother Abel came with the right sacrifice, and he sacrificed the lamb, which, of course, you and I know because the sin had passed upon all men and all have sinned. God said there has to be a blood sacrifice to satisfy me. And therefore, we read the story of a young man whose name is Cain. And you need another story of a man whose name is Abel. Abel did that what was right in God's sight. Cain did not. And, of course, we see something happen and it's a great account. God calls upon him. After the terrible act, the Bible said that Cain slew Abel. The word slew in the Hebrew means he butchered him. He butchered him. I had a couple cousins who were twins. I did not have a brother. I grew up with three sisters, three tattletaling sisters. Three sisters that are always telling on me. Three sisters that never gave me an inch. Three sisters that always brought me for the judgment seat of my father and my mother. Amen. But my cousins, Ted and Fred Herner, were twins. They were identical twins. What the one guy did, the other guy did. What the one thought of, the other one did. I mean, it was just both amazing things. But as they were growing up, they had a few little problems. And the problem was they'd get mad at each other. One day I'm at their home. We'd just gone to church, came home, and we were doing something. And one of them, I can't remember, Ted or Fred, they got mad at each other and picked up a butcher knife about this and chased his brother around the kitchen. I'm going, like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to get him. I said, are you crazy? Now stop. I said, why? I says, because I don't have a brother. And if I had a brother, and I started crying, if I had a brother, I'd love him so much. I said, guys, you don't understand. At my farm, I go out to the haymow by myself. I buck bales by myself. I shovel wheat and beans by myself. I fill the big pig feeders up by myself. I take care of the chickens by myself. I take care of all the sheep. I take care of all the cattle by myself. And I said, here you got a brother who's a buddy. I go to school. There ain't nobody sticking up for me. My sister said, yeah, beat him up. I said, what's wrong with you guys? I've never been one who liked fighting. I don't like fighting. I like to pack a good punch when I'm playing football, but when I knocked the guy over, I'd pick him up after the whistle blowed him out. I've never been one to want to fight. I've never been one to cause irritation. I will, when I see something wrong, I'll try to straighten it up in my kind little sweet way of doing things. But God called upon Cain for his actions. And by the way, God will call all of us for our actions someday. It is appointed on the one man to die and then the judgment, God says. We will stand before a holy God and we'll give account for the things we've done good and the things we've done bad. And there's some rewards there. Gold, silver, precious stones. Or he says there's wood, hay, and stubble that will burn. So God calls Cain to give an account of what he's done. And the first thing he does what? He learned it from his mom and dad. Adam, where art thou? I'm hiding in the garden. Well, what are you hiding for? Well, naked. Who told you you're naked? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And his answer was, the woman that thou gavest me. Well, that's a blessing, amen. Truth, but, you know, instead of saying and take responsibility for his own sin, he said, Lord, I did take it, and I'm ashamed. God, forgive me. He says, the woman that thou gavest me. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing for favor before God. Scripture teaches us the greatest thing that ever happens to a man is to get a woman. Hello! Boy, say amen. That's almost as good as chocolate and roses, amen. God said when he made man, man was lonely and needed some help. Therefore, he made him a completer or a helpmeet. Isn't it amazing how people will turn their back on some of the most precious things? Go to school and your kid says, oh, my mom and dad, the old man, the old woman, the old lady. Forgetting. I have another question for you. How is it that a father and mother who live godly in their home and in their community and train their child up for years and teach them what to do and feed them good and clothe them good and give them a nice warm home and take care of them and really work their fingers to the bone, just make sure that kid gets something, and within a kid to meet somebody in 15 minutes, they go haywire. Explain that one to me. Why is that? Your parents taught you not to smoke. First thing you're out with the buddies, they light up and you take one. What is that? Parents are told you not to take drugs. They show the effects of what happens. First time somebody gives you something, you smoke it or pop it. What is with that? Your parents taught you to be moral. In 15 minutes, you're kissing an ugly guy. What's the deal with that? Explain that to me. God says to Cain, hey, Cain, where's your brother? And what do you retort? Am I my... Yes, you are. All of us are brothers keepers. All of us are looking out for each other. It is our responsibility to take care of our brothers and our sisters and our parents and our children. It is all our responsibility. Yes, it is. And God calls Cain and said, Cain, hey, where's your brother? Do you think that surprised God? Was God looking for the answer, or was God looking to convict him to realize that he said, hey, sin's lying at your door. Your brother's blood is screaming out to me. Cain's sin, the scarlet crimson sin it was, a sin of first magnitude, a sin against life, a sin against light, a sin against nature, a sin against his own conscience. Even bad men, when they read the scriptures about Cain and Abel, they're startled about it. So therefore, I think that we can, well, we detect here that there is a sin that is the basic of all mankind. It's one of the basic sins. Anger. Jealousy. Pride. These are base sins. Do we have it? Yeah, we have it. It's passed upon all men. I'm reminded of a lady, Ella. She used to go to our church. She was 96 years old. We had a birthday party for her. And I was preaching up in the Cambridge Court. And she came to our church. And when I'd preached at Cambridge Court for many years, but when she moved in there, I was her pastor. And she always had to sit next to me. This is my pastor, she'd tell all the folks at the Bible. I want you to know this is my pastor. 96 years old. One morning I was giving the Bible study and I said, and we were talking about heaven and how heaven is so wonderful and how heaven is the promise to men who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and how that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that he could give us heaven. And I quoted John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also." And so at the end of the Bible study, I said, folks, I said, what are you going to do? First thing you do when you get to heaven. And somebody says, I'm going to see Jesus. Somebody says, I'm going to see my daddy. Someone says, I'm going to see my husband. Another lady says, a man said, I'm going to see my wife. And I said, Elsa, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to walk her up and whack Eve. If Eve wouldn't have taken that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, none of us would have to be in church today. Y'all understand that? None of us would have to suffer the troubles and heartaches and sorrows of sin and death. Death is passed upon all men. All of us are going to die. We don't like to talk about it. I was working on a sermon. I tried to get it done. I didn't get it. There's so much to it. But the Bible talks in the land of forgetfulness. Well, that struck me. The land of forgetfulness. When a person dies, they're forgotten after a while. 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years, they're not remembered. Sometimes we go to the graveside on Memorial Day and clean up the grave of some great-grandfather or so on. But after we do that, we don't muse too much on that thought. And that's where sin came in. Do you know why God is going to create a new heaven and the earth? And he's going to burn this earth? Because he's going to make a new heaven and earth so we will forget the former things, the things that bring back to our memories of sin and heartaches and troubles and sorrow. I'm glad he's going to do that. I don't have to worry more, think any more of that junk. That's why this preacher preaches so hard and tries to get you young people to not to go into sin and keep you from doing things that you shouldn't do. Because I'll tell you what, you will remember that and it will be in your brain forever. There's no magical thing to clean your hard disk up. That hard drive just keeps on going on. And I don't care how old you are, you'll remember some. You'll hear music, you'll hear somebody say something, you'll see something, you'll smell something, and it'll remind you, will bring you back to some certain time in your life. And thank God for that song we just sang, you know, I'm justified. God takes all that away from us and he forgives us. But the trouble is, me, this, there's three men here, me, myself, and I. This guy right here sure has a lot of junk. And I fall on my face before God and said, dear God, I don't want to think of that. Scripture says, it talks about the mystery of iniquity. And I think sometimes the mystery of iniquity, you're walking down the road, I didn't say mystery of nicotine, did I? Iniquity. That was kind of funny. But anyway, I made that up. No, but anyway, you know, you think of the mystery of iniquity and you're driving down the road or you're doing something, all of a sudden something pops in your brain. Has that happened to any of you? Oh, this is not me? Yeah, and you wonder, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Where in the world did that come from? And you got to remember the mystery of iniquity. Satan is out there to pollute us, to try to keep us from serving God, to keep our hearts and lives holy before God, to bring great respect to God's name. And God called Cain accountable to that. And by the way, we're all accountable for the sins that we do. But there's two things. One, you can keep it, or you can forsake it. You can think on it and dream on it, or you can take it to the blood of Jesus Christ and say, God, I don't want to listen to that anymore. My son one time came to me and said, Daddy, he said, I've heard some bad words, and I can't get them out of my mind. He was realizing that he's no different than everybody else. And I said, son, I said, you know what I do? He said, you have that problem? He's thinking, I've got some bad words in my mouth. Which I do. And so do you. Don't look at me with your phylactical thinking you're so perfect. All of us are in sin. And God has forgiven us. We're not perfect. But we have been forgiven. And I said, son, I said, what I do, I sing Jesus loves me. And he laughed at me. He's a teenager now. Getting, you know, he's driving now. He's 17. He says, what? I said, I sing Jesus loves me. But Dad, you're an old guy. Jesus loves me for little boys and girls. I said, no, it's not. Deep down inside, I'm still a little boy. And when a thought comes to my mind, if you hear me singing, Jesus loves me, stay away, amen? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, little one. Hey, sing it loud enough that your brain cannot go over top of it. I never thought a bad thought when I'm thinking Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Troubles and trials are going to come to you. Heartaches, sorrows are going to penetrate your mind and your thought life. And you have got to find something that will say, stop! I'm not going down that road. God said, I don't let anything happen to you or I'll provide a way of escape. That is my way of escape. Jesus loves me. Now you can figure out what you want. After about a week, he said, Dad, I found my song. Jesus Christ is all I need, all I need, all I need. Jesus Christ is all I need. He is all I need. And when I hear him singing, changes his attitude, changes his mind. Some of you people may be having some problems with that old brain of yours. Some of your brains are like a bumblebee's nest. Somebody just rocked and just bulging in there. And you can't even think straight. You can't think what. But hey, just find a song. Find a song. Find that song. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. Yeah, that'll change your heart. Amen. Change your heart. God called Cain and said, Cain, you're responsible for your actions. By the way, we're all responsible for our actions. Y'all understand that, right? It's not Susie's fault, not Sally's fault, not Joey's fault, and it's not Fred's fault. It's our fault. And say, I have sinned. Or say, Mama, I did that. Instead of lying and making it worse. I told a fellow the other day, I said, if you're going to lie, you better have a good memory. You better have a good memory. The sad effects of sin entrance into the world, into the hearts of men. Look at the root of bitterness, the corrupt nature, which bears this gall of wormwood to this man. Adam, eating forbidden fruit, seemed but a little sin that opened up the door of greatness. It was his brother, his own brother, his buddy, his pal, his friend, his confidant that he murdered. Why? Because his brother did right. His own mother's son, whom he ought to have loved, his younger brother, whom he ought to have been protecting, not destroying. Now, you listen to me now. You have a responsibility as a Christian to take care of your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's your responsibility to make sure that if you see them doing something wrong, it's your responsibility to go up to them and say, hey, you know what? I want to talk to you. First of all, I want you to know I love you. And if somebody that really loves somebody is going to protect them, wouldn't you say so? I'm out here to help you. You know, sometimes I don't have enough tact or I don't have enough time. I just cut to the chase and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you need to take care of it. And I love you and see you later. I just gave you some of my precious time. I don't have much time. Neither do you. So when someone comes to you and said, can I just help you a little bit here? I love you. And there's nothing you can do to make me not love you. I used to tell my boys when I was raising, I said, boys, I said, I'll tell you right now. I said, there's nothing in this world you can do to keep me from loving you. Now, you might not love me, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to love you. I made a choice a long time ago, I'm going to love you. But in loving you, I also, and you should expect me to protect you. One of my boys grabbed a hold of a butcher knife one time, 2 years old, I grabbed it away from him. Man, he picked the fuss. Because I took away a dangerous, life-threatening tool out of his hand. How many think I did right? So my son is going to date a girl, and I see something that she's inappropriate. And so I go to him, and I said, son, I don't think you ought to do that. And he gets mad at me. What am I going to do? First of all, I'm going to pray. And secondly, I'm going to try to sit down with them and say, hey, this is it. This is what's going on. I see something you don't see. I told my boys, I said, don't let me choose your wife. I didn't want nobody to choose my wife. But I said, will you please give me the veto power? I chose this young lady, brought her home to the farm, and I wasn't there about it. Day or two, and my mom said, she's really not the one for you, is she? Now, I'm a mama's boy. Oh, yeah. She was only 4'11", but I'm still mama's boy. I was her best son, she told me. And I believed her. And when my mama said, who had almost went to death to give me birth, who had stayed up in the middle of the night and took care of this little guy and changed my filters and fed me and watched after me, when my mama said, son, I don't think, guess what I did? I cut to the chase, and that was it. I took that little young lady home, which is a good girl, and she's a nice girl, but she, my mama said she wasn't for me, and my mama knows best. Guess what? I get to college, and here Marsh is. Hubba, hubba, hubba. I brought her home. And my dad said within an hour, he says, don't you dare let that little Norwegian girl get away from you. My mama said, she's the one for you. He said, what'd you do? I worked all summer to buy her an engagement ring, and then I had to work to put myself through college. Yeah. There are people in this world who are not meddling in your business. They're just trying to help you because they love you. You got an old guy right here standing behind this pulpit that loves you to death. And there's something that happened that just grieves me. And I weep and I cry and I pray that God would open your heart and your eyes and that you would let me tell you and help you to get through this rugged old tear-stained earth. I'm not up here just blowing smoke. I care for your soul. Some of you have no idea. God said to Cain, you're responsible for your actions. Therefore, he was held guilty before God. And so are you. His brother had fallen. The voice of the blood was witnessed against Cain. We're responsible for our brother's influence, and we're responsible for our children and our friends' spiritual development. It is your responsibility to help. I told him the other day, my wife just happened to walk out of the building. I was in there talking to somebody, and I let down my guard when I go to church. I am hyper-vigilant at home. But when I come here, I just kind of, hey, she's with the friends. She's with people. So if you see my little sweetheart walk out of the building, whether she wants or not, she's coming back in. Amen? Don't you leave. If you run outside, she's out in cold. She cannot stand cold. She doesn't understand. She's a 4-year-old. You're responsible for her. As much as I'm responsible for your little kids when they start walking out the door and my leg goes like this. And I said, you get back out of here. I'm going to protect them. You help me to protect her. But we're all responsible. You see somebody going down the wrong road. You see somebody doing something you know that's not right. Hey, you have a license, according to God's holy word, to say, hey, I love you. I don't want you to go that way. Come on back. Don't do that. It'll hurt you. And some of us have been through some stuff in our life that we can say, you know what? Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you what happens when you do that. Troubles and sorrows come to us every day for a purpose. To not only to build us up, but also to be able to be protectors for others. Does God love you? Yep. Do your friends love you, even when they tell you the truth? Paul the Apostle said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? There's a lot of people in church, they think the preacher's mad at them, the preacher trying to get at them, trying to hurt them. Are you out of your stinking mind? I have given my life for you. I will do anything I can. I'll stay up all hours of the night. Just some way, somehow, I can help you. Problem is, I can't help you unless I know you need some help for some of you. Some of you feel stinking sneaky. You got things going on in your life. I can't help you. But I can, if you let me. Paul the Apostle, he felt responsible for others. Christians should not live to themselves, but be ready to bear the burdens of others. Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in other words, he gets in trouble, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But the next two words are this: considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How many of you ever went and helped somebody and all of a sudden you do the same stinking thing? Yeah, well, that's what it's talking about. And this is what he says, the next verse, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear one another's burden. This bear has this idea that bearing one another's burden has this idea of a canopy or a house in a boat, that when the rains come and the terrible winds come, you can get inside and bear the burden. And the house, the roof, and the windows bear the burdens of the trouble on the outside. It has this idea, hey, when you see somebody in trouble, you go take care of them. Take care of them. Help them. Bear their burden. Hey, help them out. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Paul felt responsible for the others. He was indebted to all classes of people. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both of the wise and unwise. And when you read Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, he stood ready to help. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. All right, Rome also. He said, I just want you to know, I just want to help you. Dear Christians, this whole world is pretty rough. I look at you, elementary kids. School is rough. Teenagers, junior high, senior high, it's rough. College, get out of school, it's rough. People out there to take advantage of you. Young marriage, it's rough. But you know what? Even you get an old geezer like I am, it's still rough. There's just different temptations and different troubles that come to us. And I mean, in-your-face stuff. And you got to find a way to make it. I got something good for you right there. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You say, it don't work. Well, I've tried this for 67 years and certainly worked for me. I haven't found a error in it. And everything it is in its truth. And everything they've ever done, you reap what you sow. I beg you today to understand that you have to take responsibilities for your own actions. And that you'd go to God, and if you've got sin in your heart, Scripture says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can walk out of this building today with having a clean heart. You say, but preacher, I don't know if I can keep it or not. You just do it today. You make sure your sins are forgiven today. There are plenty of testing for tomorrow. God says there's enough trouble in today, enough evil today to worry about tomorrow. I'm glad I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. Aren't you? I'm glad I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just face today. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for the Word of God. We think of that hideous sin that Cain committed to butcher his brother in the field. Why? Again, just reminds us how far and how sinful this world is. The Bible talks about the heart that's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God, I pray today, it would be the day that we say, Lord God, I can't do this alone. I need your help. Dear God, I am responsible for what I do. Now, Lord, help me. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they'd call upon you, Lord God, our Almighty God, to forgive us of sins and come into our heart and save us. Oh, God, help us today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You hear the name, you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm born again. As Jesus talked to the Nicodemus, you must be born again or born from above. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And dear God, there'd be anyone here today that I'm sure they're safe. Lord, you'd call them to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Everyone standing, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to know that. I'd sure like to invite Jesus Christ to be my Savior. If you'd like that, if you just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, meet me up front. This is called the invitation. We invite people to come to Christ. Why don't you come at this time? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know that. You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. I know that's a Bible responsibility for a Christian, and I want to do that. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, we want to come become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?